Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now, here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickman.
Welcome and thanks for joining me today. This is Rick Rickman, your hard-working mortgage guy. And today we're going to talk about will the economic crisis have a V, U, or L-shaped recovery? Before we do that, if you would like to get a hold of me, it's Rick Rittma at hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Go to the contact information, put whatever questions you have for me or what you'd like me to get back with you on, and I would be more than happy to get back with you. Again, we're going to talk about this economic crisis and the VU or L-shaped recovery, because it seems to be it's obviously very important on how we're going to recover, and there's a lot of opinions out there on how this recovery is going to look. And obviously what's happened now is we're in the, no matter which one it is, we're in the down. We've hit the down, and now looks like we're getting ready to hopefully hit the upswing. And so as we look at this, we want to look at it and see what is our most likely scenario. And so what are the possibilities? And as I said, there's a V-shape recovery, and an economic period, and the V-shape is an economic period in which the economy experiences a sharp decline. However, it is also brief period of decline. So it's not real long, just like we've gone through. And there is a clear bottom. Economists call that a trough. And it doesn't last very long. That trough does not last very long. And then there is a strong recovery, and there's a lot of economists that think that's what we're going to see. We hear that a lot. There's also the U-shaped recovery, and this is when the decline is more gradual. It's less severe. The recovery that follows starts off modestly, so like a U, and then picks up speed. The recovery could last 12 to 24 months in a U-shaped recovery, where the V-shape is very quick. It comes back at a very, very quickly. And then we have the L-shaped recovery. This is the one we do not want. This is a steep economic decline followed by a long period with no growth, and just like an L. And when an economy is in an L-shaped recovery, getting back to where it was before the decline will take years. I haven't heard many people, many economists think that is the direction that we're going to go. It isn't what most people think we're going to do. They think that it's more likely will be one of the other two. And that just depends on their feeling. So what type of recovery do we think we'll see during this time? And obviously no one has an answer. No one knows 100% certainty what's going to happen in the future. None of us can see the future. However, most top financial services firms are calling for a V-shaped recovery. And of course, that's the best one. So this is Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, Wells Fargo Securities, and JP Morgan have all recently come out with projections that call for the GDP to take a deep dive. They called for that. It did in the first half of the year, but have a strong comeback in the second half of the year. So when you look at this, the second quarter, especially the first quarter and the second quarter, all three of them saw decline in the GDP, all three of them. That's gross domestic product, and all three of them. In the third quarter, that's the quarter that's coming up at the July, August, September, and that quarter, three of the four see it as an economic increase, that our GDP is going to be up. In fact, Morgan Stanley believes it's going to be up 20.7% in the third quarter. Now, Wells Fargo still believes it's going to be in decline. And then in the fourth quarter, all four believe we're going to be in an economic recovery. The GDP is going to go up, and they're expecting it, at least Morgan Stanley is expecting it up 15.9%. Goldman Sachs looks like it's hard to tell because of the way the graph's done, but it looks like they're looking probably more in the 11% range. You know, JP Morgan, it looks like they're thinking more in the, maybe the 7% range, and then Wells Fargo looks like they're looking at more in the like the 4% range increase in GDP. So the major financial institutions are calling for a V-shaped recovery. That's what they believe it's going to look like. And they so we've had the sharp decline. We're not quite out of that decline yet, but it seems like we're getting nearer. We're at the bottom, and they're calling for a quick recovery. Very, very quick through, you know, even Wells Fargo, who is calling for a decline in the GDP in the third quarter, it's not as a very big GDP decline in the third quarter. So even with that, it's still an upward, major upward trend. So is there any research? I thought we would look at the research on recovery following a pandemic. And we've had pandemics before, and there are two exclusive studies done that looked at how an economy has recovered from a pandemic in the past. And here are the conclusions they reached. John Burns Consulting, which is a major consulting company, they say historical analysis shows us that the pandemics are usually V-shaped, sharp recessions that recover quickly enough to provide little damage to home prices. And some very cutting-edge search engine analysis by our information management team shows the current slowdown is playing out similarly thus far. So John Burns Consulting, they're looking at this as a V-shaped recovery. So along with the four major investment firms, they're looking at it as a V-shaped recovery. Harvard Business Review this is what they say. It's worth looking back at history to place the potential impact path of COVID-19 empirically. In fact, V-shapes monopolize the empirical landscape of prior shocks, including epidemics such as SARS, the 1968 H3N2, which was the Hong Kong flu, the 1958 H2N2 Asian flu, and the 1918 Spanish flu. So after all of those, it was a V-shaped recovery. Now we know this one is a little different, but that was, they were all V-shaped recoveries. But does everyone agree that it will be a V-shaped recovery? It sounds like the ones we've talked about, they all believe it's going to be a V-shaped recovery. Well, in typical V-shaped recovery, there's a huge shift in economic activity after the downturn in the trough. So growing consumer demand and spending drives the massive shift in economic activity. And it appears that we're already starting to get that happening, that the demand, you know, consumer activity is picking up, the demand is picking up. We know homes are selling and the market for homes is huge. We know that there's a lack of inventory, but the sales of homes is very strong, and we know that when you get a lot of sales of homes, every sale of home drives a tremendous amount of money into the economy, not just from the sale of the home, but from the furniture that's bought and all the things that are done when you buy a home. So having a strong housing market should help us come out of this recession very, very quickly, and that's kind of what, you know, I believe, and I believe that's what's going to happen. If consumer demand and spending does not come back as quickly as most expect it will, we may be headed for a U-shaped recovery. So it seems like V-shape is most likely, but we could have a U-shaped recovery, which is obviously much better than an L, which takes years and years. The U-shape just takes a little bit longer than the V. In a message last Thursday, Chris Hayes, Chief Investment Officer for Merrill and Bank of America Private Banking, agrees with other analysts who are expecting a resurgence in the economy later this year. He says, we're forecasting real economic growth of 30% for the U.S. in the fourth quarter of this year and 6.1% in 2021. His projections, however, calls for a U-shaped recovery based on concerns that consumers may not rush back in. And that's what I wanted to talk about. You know, it may be the difficult part here of the recovery is us as consumers going back to the way it was. It's a little harder to do that for us all to get back. I know, like, I don't go to the store very often at all anymore. My Saturday mornings always was going to Costco. I don't go to Costco anymore, or I haven't been in weeks. It's just too much of a hassle. So it's not worth me. It's not worth me going. As soon as it gets back, I'll probably go back. But, you know, I have lost that habit of going there every single Saturday. After the break, we're going to finish up with the recovery and what that's going to look like. Thank you for joining us.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Thank you and welcome back. It's Rick Rickma, your hardworking mortgage guy. You can contact me at hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. If you have any mortgage questions, either refinance, purchase, or you know just any basic questions, please feel free to give me a call or go online, not a call. Go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com and put your information in the contact information, and then I will get back with you. We've been talking about the economic recovery, whether it be a V, a U, or an L shape. And, you know, as we said, nobody knows for sure. So there's no telling 100%, but the bottom line is the research indicates the recovery will be a V shape. Again, we don't know that for a fact, but that's what the research indicates. And most analysts agree that's the way it's going to be. Again, nobody knows for sure. And I think we're all ready for life to get back to normal. But we'll just have to wait and see how it unfolds. It'll be interesting to see how this all unfolds, how it all ends up in the long run.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
You know, Pam called me looking to see how she could upgrade her home. You know, she felt like her home value, I just wanted to give you kind of the basics on it. She felt like her home value is about 470, and she owes about 355.8. She wanted to know, you know, what the best option would be to complete approximately $80,000 in renovation. So the house, it's a nice house, but it needed some work. If I remember correctly, it needed siding, needed a roof, and then it needed some the bathroom. And she thought that would, you know, based on what the contractors were telling her, was going to run about $80,000. And Pam felt like when the home was completed, when she got all the work done, the home would be worth approximately $550,000. So she wanted to see, you know, what options did she have in which to complete this. So, you know, we always want to look at, okay, so what can we do and which is going to be the best option? So one option people will look at in this situation, obviously, is if you don't have the cash to do it, is maybe doing a home equity line of credit. And on a home equity line of credit, that can always be a possibility. But in this case, you know, as you look at it, at 355,800, that's about an 80% loan to value. And with a home equity line of credit, most of them are not going over 80% any longer. And those that do, I mean, you might be able to get to 90 or 95%, but you're using the current value. That $470,000 is the current value. So we couldn't get to the full $80,000 to do the renovation. So the home equity line of credit didn't work. Another option sometimes, if you have tons of equity, is just doing a cash out refinance and just borrowing the cash. On a cash out refinance, though, we can only go to an 80% loan to value. And since we were basically already there, there wasn't any room in order to do a cash out refinance. So one of the big differences in those two options compared to a renovation loan is a renovation loan is going to use a value based on the completion of the home. So if the house currently is worth 470 and it's and the appraiser goes in with the plans and specs, knows what's going to be done, and they come out and they say the house is worth 550, then you can borrow up to 80% of the 550. And so if it was worth 550, 80% would be a $440,000 loan amount. And at $440,000, that's enough to cover that 80,000. The 80,000 plus what she owes would be approximately $435,800. So we're over that amount. So the renovation loan seemed like it would be the perfect option. Now to do the renovation loan, obviously we have to get what somebody's going to do. We get plans and specs. We have a a person who will look through all that. They'll actually come to the house. We call it the consultant. The consultant will go to the house. They'll make sure they'll actually inspect the home, make sure what work needs to be done. May not be the work that you wanted, but there may be things that have to be done. And then what is the work going to cost that you want to do? And then that's how we come up with kind of the full amount of what the renovations are going to be. And then we get plans and specs for that. The appraiser goes out and inspects it. And that's how a renovation loan is done. Now, they do take a little longer than a normal loan. They take about 45 to 60 days from the time you start working on it and close. Part of that time is because of getting all the plans and specs for the renovation and narrowing all that down takes some time. Our average turn time is about 41 days. But again, 45 to 60 is not unusual, depending on how quickly people can get that those things done. Now, the renovation loan is a great option to get that work completed, to get it started, get it completed. Now, once it's completed, that isn't the rate is a little high. So what we're doing now is we're financing it in the renovation loan. And 6 months afterwards, once the home is completed and you've waited 6 months, then we can refinance it into lower rates. And the rates now are the outlook for rates. There's no guarantees, of course, but the outlook for rates are for rates to stay low and even go lower, possibly in the near future. Now, there again, there's no guarantees on them going lower. And right now, part of what's keeping the rates where they are is what the Feds are doing. The Feds have been keeping the rates by them buying mortgage-backed security bonds in volume. They've stabilized the market. The market just five, six weeks ago, it's hard to remember. The market was very unstable. Rates went up, the Feds came in and they stabilized everything with them buying the mortgage-backed securities. So now we're looking at, rates are very stable. They've been very stable and they're very, very low. Some of the lowest rates are the lowest rates I've ever seen. So they're very, very good. And it's really making a difference for people for refinancing, save a tremendous amount of money over the term of their mortgages, and even short term. Even I'm showing people where even times they're saving $8,000, $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 by refinancing, depending on what their rate is and what the new rate's going to be. Those rates are also going to bring us into the next topic I want to talk about, which is, what is this summer going to look like in the housing market? And summer is the new spring market. We're hearing that's what people are telling us. They expect it to be the new spring market. Now, the spring market, if you don't know, is the biggest, strongest market, home sales market that we have normally. And it's where we see the biggest amount of homes sold, of homes listed. And we didn't get that this year, and we didn't get it because we had the pandemic. And people weren't going out. People were out looking at houses, but people weren't listing their houses. And Zillow, on their May 29th report, they had the new pending sales were up 40.8% month over month. So March to April, the new pending sales were up 40.8% month over month. That is huge. New lists taken were up 37.8% month over month. So you can see now the pending sales were higher than the listing. So that, our market, we already are low on inventory. So it just made it a little lower, but that is a huge increase month over month. Zillow economists expect sales volume reached its bottom in early April. So they think that the sales hit the low in early April and expect sales volume to rebound strongly in May. And sales are forecast to recover almost fully by the end of the year. So the real estate market is looking at a very strong summer based on what their expectations are here and what the new new listings have been taken. Now, the housing inventory, as measured in the month of supply, dropped drastically over the last 10 years. And that's kind of the one problem in the market right now in the housing market is home inventory. The inventory in 2010 we had 8.5 months of homes available for sale based on the sales numbers. Today, we're at 4.1% or 4.1 months. So we've dropped in half of the houses that are on the market and available for people to purchase. Now, when you're thinking of that, of course, that's a detriment. But one of the things, if you are interested in buying a house, one thing that you may want to consider, and I've talked about it actually for the question, is the renovation loan. The renovation loan can open up a lot of opportunities in houses for you. If you can find a house that you like the location, you like the home, you should be able to get a bargain on it because it needs work. And it isn't that it necessarily needs work, it may just need updating. It may need a new kitchen, may need new carpet, may need paint, may need a new bath, whatever that happens to be. You can actually buy that home and finance it with a renovation loan and have those renovations done right in your financing right up front. And that can make a huge difference, especially if you're looking at a price that maybe you can get that house and should be able to get that house at a bargain price because other people are not looking at that house. Other people are walking by it. Even though there's not a lot of homes on the market, when homes need work, they tend not to get the showings. They tend not to sell as quickly. And so your competition drops out. And this can be a huge benefit to you. So you can buy it at a lower value, fix it up, and have more equity in the home once it's all done, and have the home you want and the home that you love. The other part of this is when you're building a home, you're building in a new neighborhood. It's not established yet. When you're buying an existing home, you're buying in an existing neighborhood. You know what the yards look like. You know what the neighborhood looks like. You know what the neighbors are. You know the trees are in, the grass is in, the dirt's not there, the construction is not there. The 7 o'clock in the morning guys pounding on the roofs is, you know, all that stuff is not there because you're already, it's an established neighborhood and it doesn't, you know, you don't have to worry about that. So I would encourage you seriously to consider a renovation loan. If you want to go look at homes, especially in, you know, it's in all price ranges, but if you're in the, you know, the 100, maybe $200,000, $250,000, $300,000 range, there's a lot of homes out there that could use a little TLC, and you can get them at a bargain price, and you can use a renovation loan in which to get that house. And so it can be a huge benefit to you to look at that. Now, home prices, let's look at what home prices are projected to continue to appreciate. Now, with the renovation loan, I think you're even going to see better than this or have a real possibility of this. But in 2020, they're looking at an increase of approximately, you know, there's a variant of you know, Freddie Mac thinks that it's going to appreciate at 0.4, where the Mortgage Bankers Association thinks 4.3. Looks like the average is about 2.5. That's 2020. 2021, it looks like, you know, Zelman and Associates is looking at 4.2. Mortgage Banker thinks 3.2. Freddie Mac thinks 0.7. Looks like the average is about 3% of appreciation. And in 2022, there's only a couple of them projecting at that point. The average is right just over 3.1%, 3.2%. Now, that's nationally. What we're seeing in Indiana and what we have seen in Indiana is higher appreciation than that. And and the projections for Indiana are higher than that. In fact, the year-over-year in Indiana has been 12%. We're in the top 10 of appreciation. In fact, we were tied for number 4 with Missouri. And I will tell you that is unheard of in our market. In Indiana, for years and years, if you had a 3% increase in value in appreciation, that was big. But we are seeing much better appreciations right now and have been for quite some time. Really, since 2008, things have started to turn around. Not exactly in 2008, took a couple of years, and then they started to turn around. Now we had the decrease, but now home prices are back up and they're higher than they've ever been. So it is a good time to take advantage of that. They aren't so high that they are out of the realm. We're still a very affordable state. We're a very affordable place to buy a home. So it is a great thing to at least look at doing. If you're thinking about buying, I would definitely you know, look at that because of what the appreciation is. Also with what the rates are. Rates make a huge difference in what you can afford. When you're looking at an interest rate, the difference between a 3.125% interest rate and a 4.875% interest rate is tremendous in your in the affordability for you on buying a home, what you can qualify for with a lender. So I didn't run the numbers on that, but it's probably $40,000-$50,000 depending on the price range of the house. It is significant and it can make a big difference, which means you can either save money and buy the same price home or you can buy a much more expensive home. But it's definitely when rates are at these lows, this is the time to really consider buying a home or refinancing. If you don't want to buy and you have a rate, you know, that's higher than current rates, it is definitely worth looking at. It is amazing how much money you can save over even 5 years by lowering the interest rate. And, you know, we can run analysis if you want to look at doing that. I can run the analysis for that. If you just to get a hold of me, just go online to hardworkingmortgageguy.com on my website. On my website, I have a variety of videos and, you know, the radio shows. It's under the radio tab. But if you click on the contact tab, then you can just put in your information and let me know what you want to look at. And we will go through that information, look at what you want to, you know, talk about what you want to do and walk through it. Because the objective is to give you the right information so you can make the right decision for you. Some people, I get calls that will want to know, you know, should I buy a home? Should I sell my home and buy a home? Or should I stay where I'm at? We can talk about that. We can go through the numbers. I can ask the questions we need to ask to give you the information so then you can make a decision on what you think is going to be best for you and your family. Because there is no one right answer. One of the things I found, I'll relate it to ARM rates. You know, ARM versus fixed. In our market today, the ARM rates are terrible, so it isn't even something we consider, but and many times the ARM rates are lower than the fixed. And I've had people tell me, oh, no, I don't want an ARM. We should never have it, because I was told you should never have an ARM. Well, you know, it's not true. It depends. An ARM rate can be a very good option for you if you're going to be in the home short term. Or if you're not going to, if you think rates are going to go down and you're going to refinance the home again shortly, if that ARM rate is lower than the fixed rate, why not save the money? But on the other side, if you think I'm going to stay in my house and I'm going to be there 10 years and I'm never going to refinance, then an ARM rate isn't the best option. In fact, when I first bought my house, I did it on a 5/1 ARM. And this is before I was in the mortgage business. So with the 5/1 ARM, after 5 years, I decided I'd refinance it. And I told my loan officer, still not in the mortgage business, I never wanted an ARM again. Give me a fixed rate. And I got a fixed rate. And I stayed on that fixed rate because I never wanted to refinance. And about 3 or 4 years into being in the mortgage business, I finally refinanced. And I saved so much money and I went back to an ARM. And I have saved a tremendous amount of money on an ARM product. So it is definitely worth considering if you want to look at that. Real quick, just want to talk about the unemployment numbers. We talk, you know, the numbers are huge as far as the filings, but understand the unemployment rate is not as large as what they're telling us it is. The actual rate probably is more in the 17-18% range. And even though we've had 40.7 million people apply for unemployment, that's because a lot of those people have come back. I appreciate you listening. Please feel free to contact me at hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Thanks for joining me again and have a great weekend.